We are destroying trees at an alarming rate, sometimes unnecessarily so. So that's why I wrote a new book. It says here, there's a hole in the center of the ozone. There's a hole in the center of the ozone. There's a hole. There's a hole. There's a hole in the center of the ozone. Chapter 2. There's an ice cap melting from the hole in the center of the ozone. There's an ice cap melting from the hole in the center of the ozone. There's a hole. There's a hole. There's a hole in the center of the ozone. There's an ocean rising from the ice cap melting from the hole in the center of the ozone. Sing it with me now. There's an ocean rising from the ice cap melting from the hole in the center of the ozone. There's a hole. There's a hole in the center of the ozone. Sounds so good. Sound like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Just without the choir. 4. There's some coastal states that could flood from the ocean that's rising from the ice caps melting from the hole in the center of the ozone. Everybody. There's some coastal states that could flood from the ocean that's rising from the ice caps melting from the hole in the center of the ozone. There's a
hole.
There's a
hole.
There's a in the center of the
hole.
Heard somebody say hole again. There's a hole in the center of the hole. Silly people. And here's the last chapter. There's a state named Florida that won't exist if the coastal states flood from the ocean that's rising from the ice caps melting from the hole in the center of the ozone. There's a guy named Al who would have been president and really wouldn't be so sorry to see Florida go from the ice caps melting and the coastal states flooding from the ocean that's rising from the hole in the center of the ozone. So on second thought, who cares if there's a hole? There's a hole. There's a hole in the center of the ozone. Thank you.
On TV every week, Ann Coulter's gone. Each time I hear her speak, what is she on? Ann Coulter's lost her mind. It's plain to tell. I hope South Cowie's virgins are like her. That would be hell.
Down your throats, my morals I am forcing through my veins. Ice water now is coursing. Have I really flipped my lid? No, it's just those greedy widows. Come listen now, my skirt is short and tight. Give power to this loony of the right. We'd prevent all these hurricanes with more tax cuts, earthquakes or from illegal immigrants. Women's lib caused the Dow to fall today. The Titanic went down 'cause it was gay. liberals are a bunch of limp crybabies. I once bit a dog and gave it rabies. Now the press, they think I'm cruel, but those widows broke the rule. They're unlike me because they act like crooks. They profit from their loss, not sales of books.
Meanwhile, late one night at the White House, George Bush can't sleep.
Boy, the White House sure is kind of creepy at night. There's all kinds of scary things, like big statues, dark, dark hallways, and books.
George, George, don't be scared, George.
Oh,
it's me, Richard Nixon. The ghost of Richard Nixon. I want to tell you, you shouldn't worry about the war, George. Remember, history repeats itself.
History repeats itself?
See, I just proved my point. All wartime presidents have been through the same thing, George. Give me anything that happened in a past war, and I'll show you just like how it's like the current situation in Iraq.
Okay, well, in World War I, the soldiers needed foxholes to stay alive.
And you need Fox News to stay alive.
Uh-huh. Well, in the War of 1812, in an attempt to win the war, they burned up the Capitol.
And during the Iraq War, in an attempt to win the war, you've burned up a lot of your capital.
Well, here's one that'll stump you. During Vietnam, draft dodgers fled the nation.
And during the Iraq War, draft dodgers led the nation. Well, that's all I've got time for, George. They only gave me 18 and a half minutes. I've got to go, George.
Wait. Richard, don't go. I thought of another similarity. In World War II, it was mission accomplished.
Well, let's not get carried away with those analogies, George.
All right, well, bye, Tricky Dick. Remember, the Iraq War is almost over.
I am not a schnook.
Boy, that was weird. But I got to tell you, America, we've made some good progress with this whole Iraq War thing. You know what I mean? Just a couple weeks ago, we managed to blow up Al Zarqawi. Got rid of him. He was a terrorist. He was a bad guy. He did violent, mean things to people. And we blew him up. All the attacks he did, the violence, but I tell you, the thing that made me have to go after him was when he came out in support of gay marriage. Put a target on him right there. And of course, we've rid the world of one of the most hardest to pronounce terrorists. Of course, his replacement, his name is even harder to pronounce. So we will call him Bob. And I do give you a deep pledge from my heart that I will keep the homeland safe. We will stop terror, and we will stop Bob. But right now I have an important announcement, something I need to talk about with three very important loving people in my life. My wife, Laura, and of course, my mom and my dad. Hey, honey. Mom, Dad. Now, as you know, I've recently lost my speechwriter of 7 years, and many people have urged me to replace him. But I think I can really come up with some great stuff on my own. Isn't that right, Laura?
Well, that's right, darling. Just the other day, I walked into your office when you were working, and you said something really sweet. Do you remember what that was?
No, but I remember you came in, and you looked so good. But I couldn't focus. I almost lost my consummation.
Now, Georgie, you know you were always good at making jokes about yourself.
Well, Mama, I like a little self-defecating humor.
Well, son, are you sure you should really be writing your own speeches? Might be misunderstood, might not be prudent.
Well, Dad, I know that not everybody reprehends the true meaning of what I'm saying, but I'm getting better and better at handling those public appearances. Now, listen to this. I even wrote a song, and it contains some of the greatest quotes I made up all by myself. You know, off the cup. I am the very master of the modern phrase that's general. I crease my brow, I'm thinking now, just don't say something memorable. Though other politicians speak with phrases more melodious, I just don't mind, I tend to find comparisons are odorous.
When people ask about the poor and just what your program will be,
I say I know how hard it is to put food on your family.
Go tell the press with me, don't mess, 'cause as you see, we've got you slimes.
You fool me once, it's shame on you. You fool me twice. I'm fooled two times.
You fool
him once, it's shame on you. You fool him twice, he's fooled two times. You fool him once, it's shame on you. You fool him twice, he's fooled two times. You fool him once, it's shame on you. You fool him twice.
Don't fool me again. I'll find a way to always say things for the upper earning set. But if I speak to teachers, I ask, is our children learning yet? I won't state things specifically, 'cause that could hurt the latest poll. I'll simply nod my head and mutter something rather general.
He'll simply nod his head and mutter something rather general.
I am the very model of a modern major genital.
And now a word from our friends in the healthcare industry.
Good evening and thank you for attending tonight's seminar on managed healthcare for the 21st century. I am Sam Manila. Now, I have served as a doctor for 45 years, specializing in eye, ear, nose, and wallet. I've been asked to give you a few tips on how to tell whether or not you have a bad HMO. Now, remember, HMOs do not cover conditions such as illness. But with this simple quiz, you'll easily be able to discern whether or not your healthcare provider is adequate. Number one, is your doctor's office in a trailer park, and do they answer the door by saying, "You're not from 60 Minutes, are you?" That's a good sign. Number two, have you ever thought that the tongue depressor kind of tastes like a creamsicle? Does your doctor think that GI series refers to reruns of Hogan's Heroes? Not a good sign. Has your doctor given you so many iron supplements that you find yourself compelled to face north? Ladies, have you ever been asked to undress completely by your podiatrist? And then ended up in a video titled Toes Gone Wild. Men, have you ever asked for Viagra and the doctor handed you two popsicle sticks and some duct tape? And has the doctor ever asked you to give him a hand while he turns his head and coughs? If you answered yes to these questions, the chances are pretty good that you are in a bad HMO. But don't worry, I'm often asked, will healthcare be better in the next century? And I always give the same answer. I don't know, but I do know that if you call right now, you may be able to get an appointment by then. Thank you, and remember, laughter is the best medicine, so please pay on your way out.
Never saw two storms just like it. Did New Orleans have a curse? As the water rose around me, just when I thought that things could not get worse, they sent in FEMA. That guy Brownie, feeble job in all respects. FEMA sprang to action as the water reached our necks. Now where was Bush in all this disaster? At his ranch just having fun. But you gotta give that W some credit. He came the minute his vacation was done. He makes me scream. Here's a warning, soon the White House will insist. Katrina is now joining Bush's evil access list. If you ever do need FEMA, here's a way you'll have a chance. FEMA must know your disaster at least 2 weeks in advance.
Buenas noches, everyone. Buenas noches. How are you? I am Vicente Fox, Presidente of Mexico. And unlike your Presidente Bush, I am in touch with the needs of my people. My country is great because I understand my people's deep, abiding need to get the hell out of Mexico.
Hold on a minute there, Mr. El Presidente. Now, I am a member of the border protection group known as the Minutemen. And I am here in support of strict immigration laws. Now, my ancestors did not flee England in the 1600s and come to America to settle in a country that allows immigrants. And they didn't come here speaking some foreign language. They spoke English. And we know all about your secret plan.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Your secret plan for Mexicans to own a part of Texas.
All right, it's true. We're going to buy up Walmart and Lexus.
Then Selma Hayek wants to buy all of our multiplexes.
Will Bush be thrown the day I own his Crawford Ranch in Texas? California, we will own. Arnold will be overthrown.
You won't see our Congress voting your way.
You will if they want their nannies cheap and underpaid. And
now U.S. is overrun with illegal aliens. Soon you'll see the citizens of Mexifornia, my new home.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, I would like to introduce all of you to my nephew, Juan Fox.
Hola.
Juan. Juan loves everything about America.
Sí.
Juan loves shopping at IKEA.
Sí.
Juan loves driving his Toyota.
Sí.
Juan even likes picking lettuce. You do not want to get rid of Juan. No one wants a salad that costs $500. Juan!
We are in a thicket because we like our food real cheap.
Juan! If he doesn't pick it, a grape costs more than a Jeep.
Give us your masters of huddled and poor who yearn.
I can breathe free, which is good, given what I'll earn.
One thing that we agree on, if we build a border fence,
builders in U.S. would cost a ton, son, since we have a big expense here.
Who will have to build a fence here?
Guys like Juan.
That's me.
And now the Capitol steps say goodbye to someone who recently left office, but hopefully will stay in our hearts and our criminal justice system.
We Democrats lost the last election, and to our party things did not look bright. But now our long despair is done. We look good by comparison to one guy on the right. What a difference delay made. Though the left lacks excitement, They don't have an indictment like that guy Tom DeLay. He denies depictions, says it's all crucifixion. He's a man with convictions, or he will be someday. When you hear Tom DeLay speak from positions of power, you feel you need a shower and his wife needs a raise. Though some may fight him, Democrats ought to knight him. What a difference DeLay made.
Influence with top Republicans, $10,000. Wife and daughter on the payroll, $500,000. Tom DeLay's value to the Democrats? Priceless.
So, Tom, why don't you stay?
This Capital Steps radio show was taped in front of a really good-looking and pleasant-smelling audience at the Ronald Reagan International Trade Center in Washington, D.C. It was written by Mark Eaton and Elena Newport, with special thanks to Brad Van Graff. Our performers, who would like to remain anonymous, were Kevin Corbett, Mike Tilford, Jack Rolls, Elena Newport, Janet Davidson-Gordon, and me, Richard Paul, accompanied by the way above adequate Lenny Williams. We'd like to thank our sound engineer, Jim Smith, road crew, Brett Hammond, Andy Foz, and Rich Patterson, and our permanent press secretary, Bill Hurd. The Capital Steps most recent album is called I'm So Indicted. Visit our website, capitalsteps.com, for an impulse purchase. We perform every Friday and Saturday here at the Ronald Reagan Building in Washington, D.C., and we might be coming to your town. Who knows? For information on all this or to download new songs, visit our website, capitalsteps.com. Remember, if a scandal happens in the news, you can run right to our website and find out exactly what rhymes with it. Thanks for listening.
Programming on AM 580 is made possible in part by a grant from the Thrifty Nichols American Classifieds, distributed each Thursday in over 100 towns in East Central Illinois, on the web at AmericanClassifieds.com.
University high school students in Urbana interviewed East Central Illinois Jewish leaders to learn of their history and their dreams.
I would like to see a Jewish community in which mutual respect and pluralism is absolutely valued, and where the Jewish people, despite their different choices, are one.
The 20th Century Exodus, the triumphant life and journey of the Jewish in our community, this afternoon at 2, here on WILL Urbana.
Here's the Champaign-Urbana weather forecast for the 4th of July. Partly sunny with a chance of showers and thunderstorms this afternoon. The high 85 with light winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, a chance of showers and thunderstorms in the evening. Northeast winds around 10 miles per hour, the low 62. Tomorrow, mostly sunny, the high 80. Winds from the northeast around 10 miles per hour, with gusts up to 25 miles per hour in the afternoon. This is WILL Urbana.
Next time on PRI's The World, new books for summer. Peer into the life of China's only female empress. See Nazi-occupied France through the eyes of a Russian Jew. And visit the Paris of novelist Gustave Flaubert. A summertime reading list and the day's news next time on The World, today at 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. here on AM 580 WILL Urbana.
You're hearing voices.
Okay, this week the plan is an all-American festival of fireworks-fueled patriotic fury. I am the Wandering Jew. The plan comes from HearingVoices.com and KGLT Bozeman, with support from the Public Radio Exchange, PRX.org. America, stand up and salute.
The Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the United States of America, from whom we stand. I can't remember any of it.
And to the republic for which she stands.
Yeah, man. I had to memorize that. I had to grow up knowing that.
Of course, you had to stand with your hand over your heart, like little soldiers.
I spent 10 years in the Green Beret, including Vietnam, and I got to where, well, I'd look up and see an American flag. Man, that was a real experience. Still is. still has.
As far as it having any meaning or anything to me, it doesn't. None at all.
We're not a melting pot. Because you cannot take all the cultures that are here in the United States of America and throw them into one pot and come out with a, quote-unquote, an American.
I grew up on a ranch in eastern Oregon, a place called Roseburg.
I was born in Puerto Rico, a small little town called Mayagüez.
Atlanta, Georgia.
Washington, D.C.
I'm with the Mandan Hidatsa, Fort Berthold Indian Reservation.
I'm from the north of England, Yorkshire.
400 kilometers west of Istanbul.
The day I became a citizen, I had someone from Nigeria next to me and a girl from Ireland on the other side of me, and we hugged and kissed.
I love being an American, an African-American.
When I came to the United States, I was 19, and I think that was already too old to get the right accent.
I had to leave the country for political reasons.
If we go back to China, probably no chance to come out again.
We are not a melting pot. We're more like a tossed salad. And each ingredient in that salad gives the salad flavor.
Wherever you are, it doesn't matter. You always have one objective, serve the mankind.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly...
I don't remember it. Through the dawn's early... You know why? Because now I sing the National Negro Anthem. Lift every voice and sing till earth and heaven ring, ring with the harmony.
One nation, under God.
Indivisible. What does it mean, indivisible?
To the Republic... for which it falls.
Indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. For you.
To the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
What does that mean, that we're one nation and we're not divisible?
Is it just like saying there's one God?
That's how I kind of see it, for it's a prayer.
And the part that I get disenchanted with is the liberty and justice for all.
I think it's something we've lived by. We did in World War II. We really believed all that stuff.
And I said, until the Republic for which it stands. One nation indivisible with liberty and justice for all. It's poetic, you know? It has a rhythm, it has a cadence.
Some child somewhere is listening to those words and they're thinking about it. Maybe the next senator or president is thinking about it and saying, hey, I should make a difference. I should actually make this happen.
Pledge allegiance to the flag
of the United States of America
and to the republic
for which it stands,
one nation
under God,
indivisible,
with liberty
and justice,
with liberty
and justice,
with liberty and justice for all.
Bang! I love it! Incoming!
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
No. Yo juro alianza a la bandera de los Estados Unidos de América.
Carajo.
No, caramba, la república que esta representa. Ay, Dios. Una nación de barrios divididos. Oh, por favor. sin libertad y justicia para nadie.
America is waiting for a message of some sort or another.
Brian Eno and David Byrne from My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, a reissue of the original 1981 album. They've added a bunch of extra tracks. Check it out, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts. Guillermo Gomez Pena did The Pledge en Español off his Borderless Radio CD. I am the Wandering Jew. You are receiving The Pledge. This week we celebrate America and Americans. Judith Sloan and Warren Lear have a project called Crossing the Boulevard. They've interviewed more than 100 immigrants who settled in Queens, New York. The first thing they ask, what's your name?
I have so many names. My names are
Janet Xiang, and my Chinese Kanye. Friends and also my family Akakwo. Call me Jian Hong.
I'm Aurel. At first I didn't like it.
American or how is it?
1985.
My name is Elke Walcher.
I got American citizenship.
From a very little village called Ramsau. My version has Elke Walcher. Ich komme
the officer
von Österreich,
asked me, can you speak, do you write
Ramsau.
English? I said, I want to change my name.
Amenuve Akakwo is a French spelling.
Oh, you want my name, right?
Call me Antosi or Ideda or Bovic. I feel comfortable with any one of them.
I just thank my father for that name.
The first letter of my Chinese name, Jian Hong, is J.
At first
and
I
also
didn't like
the second
it, didn't like it.
Letter is A, so I figured maybe just Jian.
My names are Omobolanle, Oluwakemi, Olasumbo, Oluwasujibomi, Shitu.
Is a French spelling.
I want to be called Solomon.
Kanyi Amenuve, Akakwo, they call me Akakwo in Africa. But here they call me Amen.
Just for the convenience, since people have some difficulty to call my Chinese name, so I made it simple, easier.
Omobolanle is that Ola means wealth. So it means that I met wealth in the family. I don't see it. Then the other one, Oluwakemi,
that God has blessed her. Then Olasunbo, it's like more wealth still coming. Everything is about wealth. Then Oluwashujibumi, that is God has built a shield around me. And then my last name is, I don't know the meaning, Shitu is Arabic.
In Congo, they can call you by your last name or by your first name, Antosi or Bovik or Ideda. Ideda means someone who's powerful in my dialect, Kiyansi. We got about 450 dialects in Congo.
Every second person's last name is Walter. That's very typical for my home village. You know those little villages high up in the mountains.
Do you write English? Can you speak? I said, I want to change my name to be called Solomon. S-O-L-A means the sun, Sola. And the last three letters is a creature, a man. So we are all the creatures living under the sun. Without
my grandmother,
the sun,
before
we cannot
she died,
leave.
She called me Oluwashujibumi. God has built a shoulder around me. She named me that, so that's what she called me. Then part of my family, some people call me Olasunbo. Then from my house, my mother calls me Simple Bona.
And my Chinese friends and also my family call me Jiang Hong.
My kids have simple names because I didn't want them to go through what I went through.
Because when I came, they tried to call Aminuve.
S-O-L. That's a so, do, re, mi, fa, so. Another four letters, A-M-E-N.
I say, just say amen. To remember my name, they just do the cross.
Amen.
Say, amen. You know, wishing the good for everybody
job,
is a prayer. At the end of prayer.
To pronounce. Hello in Spanish. Hola, hola, yeah, yeah.
Very
so
beginning,
understand what I, mean.
I was tempted to pick up Jenny. At work, there are a lot of Jennies. And then I figured to differentiate from others, I pick up Janet. You know, you read books, you know, that's an American name.
I pronounce it already American. If my friends, they ask me, I already say
hola. Hello in Spanish. Hola, hola, yeah, yeah. So people understand what I mean.
The kids as well, they don't have problems. They actually like it. Oh, it's so cute, your accent. They like
it's easier than all those other ones, right? Those ones are tongue-tied.
And they try to call Aminuve. It's very, very difficult.
So I made it simple. Easier.
It's kind of romantic.
American or how I say it?
First, I didn't like it.
I feel comfortable with any one of them.
Simply cannot understand people. Oh, how sadly we mortals are deceived by our own imagination. This is not real life, this is for us, heliotropic television. A mixed consort of soft instruments. Collective rumbling in America.
I've lost my house. You've lost your house.
I don't suppose it matters which way we go.
This great society is going smash.
Foot.
The
modern town hardly knows silence. You are something that the whole world is doing. You know, I simply cannot understand people.
Oh, how sadly we mortals are deceived by our own imagination.
This is not real life. This is for us the aleatoric television.
Culture is no better than its woods.
A feeling of being connected with the past.
Look at it this way. You may fall and break your leg.
And so, one leg is shorter than the other. Can nothing more be done?
Because of us, it's morning in America.
Breakfast, honey?
Thanks. Hey, is this real pork?
Because of us, people in the Great Plains are just plain doing things. Little things, like taking money from machines.
Hey, stop, kid. I'm not a machine.
Because of us, they're roasting East Coast marshmallows on the West Coast.
Wow, these taste like pork.
We're the people of U.S. Plus. Guess what we do?
Chemistry?
Transportation? Pork?
Kind of. U.S. Plus. We own the idea of America.
I've decided to leave home, leave the world for a few days, and go into the woods. I'm going to join the Rainbow family in the National Forest.
We're building our info center here. This is sort of where people come to find out what's happening, where camps are located. We have a Krishna camp, a Buddhist camp, a Jesus camp. We're going to have an Elvis camp.
They're expecting like 50,000 people. I know there's loads of people in these woods, though. And I've been going to these things since I was like 10 years old.
So your folks go to them?
Yeah, she's right there. It's my mom. I got to go get food.
Okay.
Oh, she's hurt.
No, she just threw away one of Tara's cherished sticks again.
Don't be mean, second Maya, please.
The Rainbow family gathers every year, the first week of July.
Remember your compassion card.
20,000 hippies are camping in Montana's Beaverhead Forest. On the highway, I pass peace signs on vans and flowers painted on buses. I pick up hitchhikers with long skirts and tie-dye shirts. We're about 100 miles from where I live. In time, though, we're not far from 1967.
Neat thing I like to think about is on the 4th of July. It's probably the only village like it in the whole United States. You know, it's probably the only village where people are coming together under the vision of peace and love to make a statement for the whole world that the whole world can be what we are on the 4th of July. They can be that peaceful village.
You know, it seems like there's two kind of people up here. There's the people who come to party and then...
Well, those are the people that our family has invited to come. We invite all the people in the world. This is our family.
But there's a group of people that come and work.
Absolutely.
Well, yeah, it takes a lot of work to put a peaceful village together. Yeah. There's miles of water line. There's latrines for 20,000 assholes. There's
20,000 bellies to feed.
You know, there's kitchens, you know. And
now, I guess what I got to wonder is there like a little too much 60s nostalgia? I mean, you know, this guy's got a tie-dye T-shirt and everything and the Volkswagen vans. You know,
a
bunch
Cadillac
of people
here
with something in their head that they're holding on to. Do you know what I mean?
What's wrong with that? If it's something worth holding on to, I mean, I went to Vietnam. I shot at people for a long, long time, and when I came back, I was wounded. I was wounded in my spirit, and when I found these people, they weren't talking about going out and creating war. They were talking about living peace. We are on the path to peace just by being here and doing this. And there's nothing wrong with holding on the best of every generation all throughout human civilization. Whatever was good from every generation, we should cherish that, make that part of us. And if the 60s was about peace and love and making the weapons plowshares, we should do that. So, you know, it could be a nostalgia thing, but to me it's not.
You know, beneath this tie-dye is a great-grandfather. I'm Korea in World War II at the end of it. And I got five stalwart sons, and they pay huge taxes. We're not all poor, broke-up hippies. I'm not even a hippie. I'm a beatnik, because I'll be 70 next month. And I'd advise every great-grandfather in this country to come to this, because this is where we're hanging out. This is where the people are that believe in the right of the people to a peaceful assembly celebrating Independence Day in America. And we're independent of a strong federal government controlling every aspect of our life. And my family pays over $150,000 a year in income taxes.
An old logging road, jammed with traffic, goes up to a green meadow. To the west is a pine forest filled with tents and teepees. To the east, a grassy hill and several 9,000-foot peaks. The meadow is a mile long, a half mile wide, and constantly packed with people. They eat at free kitchens with names like Lovin' Ovens, Infinite Sunrise, Voodoo Soup. In the trade circle, they barter for beads, bongs, and bongos. They come to pray for peace, to sit in circles, shed their clothes, make music, smoke pot. Just like the 60s, everything seems possible, and nothing seems real.
I've been going to gatherings about 16 years. I got involved with all sorts of really kooky characters who showed me all sorts of stuff. Like, I ended up talking with lights in the sky. You can believe what you want. You don't have to accept this. You know what I'm saying? I am, like, skeptical philosopher from New York. Okay, but I've seen a lot of rainbows in the sky at high noon on July 4th over the silence of thousands and thousands of people. Now, I think one of the reasons that the rainbow gathering exists, and you can put this in your little pipe and smoke it, right, is that those rainbows are really powerful objects. They've been happening over and over again at our family gatherings, especially on July 4th. And I think the U.S. government, the reason why they don't shut us down, is because they realize that's a lot of real power, and they might want to use it for military purposes. So instead of shutting us down, they let us continue forward to figure out what it is we're doing.
Well, R&D for the government.
Exactly. We're like, we're spiritual R&D folks. We're going to show them how to really bring the hammer of God down on their enemies. Okay, so like that's the main thing.
But the rainbow is a reminder to God that He will never kill us all, irregardless of how bad we get. And when Noah happened with the flood and everything, then God saw the rainbow and He said, I promise not to kill them again, even though they get really, really bad. Sodom and Gomorrah, the things that they were doing then by the archives and things, was nothing compared to the United States today.
But you got everything here. You got thieves, you got liars, you got rapists, you got people that are loving and benevolent and kind. Everybody from all over the world coming here. There's every good and bad thing you can.